The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Welcome to another SoCal Sound Session. I am Julie Slater, and I am joined by Sasami today. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sasami has a brand new record. I love the photos in here. The record is Blood on the Silver Screen, not out yet while we're taping this. This is amazing. We got it fresh off the printer here.
I've never seen it until today.
So. What I know, that's so great. I'm like showing you your own vinyl. What a great picture. So awesome. So this album comes out on March 7th. We're very excited. We've been playing a couple of the songs. Tell me about, well, you've been here, you said, with King Tuff. You were playing keyboard.
Yeah, I was playing a Moog Opus 3 and a Wurlitzer. Yes,
I
was a key wizard at the time. I've been playing music for a long time in the greater LA area, so I've worn a lot of hats, done a lot of
I know,
of
sometimes I forget that you were in Cherry Laser, which is very funny.
Now I'm Asian, so I'm ageless, so I keep being a young adult forever.
That's right, well, you look amazing.
I'm young adult age.
So tell us about, on your last album, you went on tour with a metal band, and now you've decided to do a pop record, and you seem very, like, totally psyched about doing pop. What drew you to that, and was it anything going on in your life? Is it a personality reflection?
I mean,
I'm doing some deep thinking here, Sasami.
Good early morning therapy. my background's in classical music, so any genre that I've ever done is my second language to classical music. So it's not like rock was like my original thing. It's like the first thing I did, and pop is like a huge departure. It's like everything is a departure from playing classical French horn for me. So everything is like a new experience. And there's a lot of like tough downsides to being a solo artist, but the best thing for me is that I can literally go in any direction that I want to. And I don't know, I'm kind of a hippie in the sense that I really like to just like go with my emotions and my inspiration and not be too caught up in like what people expect me to do or what I'm supposed to do. So if I feel like going in a new direction, I just kind of go really far in that direction and commit to it.
So what do you think drew you to a pop record?
I think like the natural kind of progression of the albums. When I put my first record out, it was really contemplative and introspective and kind of quiet, and my voice was a lot more like hushed. And so touring that got really difficult because I was when I was touring that record, like I feel like now there's a lot more like femme and non-binary and like kind of not crotchety old white guy sound people at the venues. But when I first toured that record, it was like a lot of your voice is too quiet, your amp is too loud, like just kind of like the classic, like it's just psychoacoustically not possible. And naturally that just made me turn my amp up louder and louder. So by the end of that album cycle, I was like screaming and playing like super loud distorted guitar on songs that it made absolutely no sense for. And so I was like, okay, maybe I should like actually delve into a language that this sonic palette actually makes sense for. And that's why I got really inspired by the nu metal kind of sound palette. And I grew up listening to System of a Down. Like that's just a band that even if you weren't a metalhead, somehow they were just like on pop radio. So everyone knows System of a Down.
It was so melodic.
Like the most interesting amalgam of like Armenian folk music and metal, and I don't know. So I kind of tapped into that nostalgic middle school, like Limp Bizkit, System of a Down, djent guitar energy, because that was just emotionally where I was at. And then fast forward to like doing all these four months of touring in a row with a metal band where I'm like physically throwing my body at my giant metal head, like bandmates that I can like headbutt and like never injure them, and was like screaming. And there's like a correct way to scream, to metal scream, like you can get lessons and stuff, but yeah. I was not doing that. I was screaming like I was being murdered, like actually you're not supposed to do that. So by the end of that, I was like, I really want to do a record where I'm actually singing and protecting my instrument.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of that's kind of why I went more into like songwriting, more than pop. I mean, I did want to understand pop songwriting, but I just wanted to write good songs. And so I think for that, I just got very fascinated by like why pop songs are so catchy and why they feel so good and why they're so timeless. And it was just a very different emotional palette. It's much more like positive and uplifting, whereas like my previous stuff was a little bit more either introspective or like aggro.
I loved a line, if I can find it here. It's funny to do a pop record, but also kind of talk about some serious stuff. On your song, Lose It All, when you love sometimes, you lose it all. So what's happening? What's happening in life, Sasami?
I mean, I think, well, first of all, like this record, I wouldn't say it's like a concept record, but it definitely has a lore, which is like the protagonist is this alien creature who's been sent down to Earth to like find love, which is like a personified character in this lore. And like they're like my nemesis, and I'm trying to like understand them and find them and trap them and kill them. But then in the process of that, I also fall in love with them and become obsessed with them. And so the character of love is like shape-shifting like a chameleon into these different like personalities and different like film genres. So to me, the record kind of feels like you're like changing the channel you're like at a hotel watching a TV and like you're like watching like 30 seconds of a bunch of different movies. And so I'm kind of like as an alien experiencing this like human experience of love and passion and sex and relationships, and it's like constantly changing, and I'm like following this concept. So every song kind of has a little bit of a different perspective on kind of universal themes of relationships and love, and especially like a modern take on it, you know.
That's
like love
wild.
being something that's not necessarily like I want to get married to you and have babies in a house. Like love can be this thing that's a human connection and a human feeling and not necessarily like a structure.
How about the producers on your record? You have Jen DeSilvio and also Rostam, who is going to play with you. You're here today because you're playing a wildfire benefit show at the Palladium. Rostam's going to play with you. How did that all come about, having them produce for you?
Well, so I knew like my like background in production, because I do a lot of my own production, is kind of more analog and much more like guitar based. And so I knew if I was going to make a pop leaning record, I needed to work with people that were much better at electronic programming and loops, and just I'm always into learning. So I'm trying to work with people that are inspiring to me and giving me new vocabulary and new skill sets. So I had tried to work with Jen in the past, and I was just not, I would just say I wasn't up to her par of like skill level in the studio. She's like a runaway train. She's so talented and so inspired, but you have to really like have stamina to work with her. And so this was the first time where I was like, I'm ready. I'm like powerful enough to be in the studio neck and neck with Jen. And Rostam, I had actually like, this is so random, but I grew up in LA and I went to LOXO, which is LA County High School for the Arts. And I went to high school with like Haim, and I went to high school with Laura Lee from Empress Of, and there's a lot of people in the music scene that went to school together. And this was like right before the pandemic. Alana was in Licorice Pizza and she was supposed to go like on a big promo tour. And so they asked me to sub for her, which never happened because of the pandemic, but I had done a bunch of rehearsals with them, and Rostam worked on the record with them and was kind of helping music direct the live show. So I met him in that capacity where I was like in a different kind of world. And then when I was putting together the demos for this record, I was like, oh, maybe it'd be cool to see what Rostam can bring to the table, because he also has like a composition background and he's really good at melding guitar world and pop world, and he's just a talented nerd. So, yeah.
So you were almost a member of Haim.
I was almost Asian Haim. R.I.P. Asian Haim, but was never born.
We are about to hear you perform the song In Love With a Memory, which features Claro on the record. How did that collaboration come about? Are you guys good friends?
Yeah.
You're like, no, never heard of her.
Like, Claro. Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny being like a millennial artist. Social media is like your nemesis and your best friend, because it's obviously like this brain-rotting tool for corporations to control us. But
on the flip side.
But on the positive side, not to say anything positive about social media, but yeah, I've just met so many people that I maybe never would have like physically like crossed paths with, or not as soon or something. And yeah, Clara is someone that I've just kind of become friends with on the internet for a really long time. And I know that she's been really adorably inspired by my French horn playing, and I'm obviously just inspired by her pop songwriting and her like melodic sensibilities. We're just fans and friends of each other, so it was really an easy collaboration. And Rostam produced her, I think, first record. So they had worked together for a long time in the past. And Dave Fridman, who mixed the song, also mixed Clara's record. So there was a lot of, it was like family, honestly.
A little family affair.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's get into that song, In Love With a Memory. We are here with Sasami.
Take me back to the endless highway where we could talk all night alone till the light of day. These days I'm begging you to tell me what's on your mind. All I need is to know what you want. Can't go on just living in love with a memory. All of me is yours if you catch me as I go. If we only go backwards, then we'll never know. Take me back to the open road where the wind can blow in my hair and the sun can kiss my face. I need to doesn't take away from what we shared that I need to go and be alone out there. I tried to do what I thought was right, and I need to be where the air is while I'm alive. Take me back to the open road where the
So you were born in New York, but you said, did you move to LA when you were around 2 or something?
Yeah, I was a baby when I moved here, so I'm an LA girly through and through.
And now you've recently moved way upstate.
Yes, I moved to Northern California, like an hour north of San Francisco on the coast.
It must have been crazy being really a true Angeleno with all these wildfires, but also being, it's weird, you know, to live here is one thing, but also you're so ingrained in Los Angeles, but you're up north. Like, how did all that feel for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge reason why I moved to Northern California is because I find LA to be extremely dry, and I'm really into mycology, and mushrooms and fungus thrive where there's dampness. And so I love LA, and there is a mushroom season in LA, of course, but there's much longer mushroom season in Northern California, which is why I moved up there. And so, yeah, there is this kind of inherent always, not sick feeling, but I definitely worry about LA all the time. Like, I'm like, it shouldn't be this dry this much of the year. So, and it is interesting because there are a lot of Northern California fires. So sometimes Northern California is actually much more active with the fire season. But it is really shocking to have a fire season in winter, because we kind of brace ourselves for the summer fire season, and to have a secondary fire season is definitely really concerning. So it's hard. So many of my friends lost everything in their homes and instruments and demos and family memorabilia. So it's extremely heartbreaking. And I'm super excited to play this benefit tonight. And I think that LA just needs as much positive energy and love as possible to get through it. So it'll be a special night for sure.
And the show we're talking about at the Palladium, it's called Give an F. On the radio, we have to block it out. So many great people are playing. I'm super excited to go. We've got St. Vincent, Phineas, Jenny Lewis, the Linda Lindas, who we love, Perfume Genius, Lucy Dacus, Haley Williams, Muna, and more. How do you end up, how do you end up on a show like that? Like, how does that work out? Do you just get a ring, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, actually, like a little bird flew into my house in Northern California and had a little scroll, and I opened it and it was like, what are you doing February 5th? And I was like, literally nothing. An interview with you.
Yeah.
And then nothing. No, I'm actually really good friends with Lindsay Hartman, who is a stylist, and she styles Paramore, the Linda Lindas, Boy Genius. She's just like a very prolific and talented, and she does like movie costuming and stuff like that too. But I've worked with her in a couple fashion capacities, and she is such a good community gatherer, and she's really, really good at just seeing all these different assets and energy and creativity and pulling it together. And so she asked me to be a part of it. And of course I was like, anything. Like, I already fly down to LA once a month, unfortunately, for work. Northern California oceanic, like, coastal scene is great for mushrooms, but not for the music industry. So LA, Hollywood is still a thing.
So when you were traveling here, your guitar didn't make it? Is that the story?
My guitar didn't make it, but I really think it was like the music gods telling me to do a more French horn centric. I was always going to play French horn for the Palladium show, but then I decided I'll just, for the session here, I'll just
So we're going to get to hear you play French horn.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
Exactly.
Tell us about one of the songs you're going to perform. We've been playing the song Slugger. How did that come about? And a little background on that.
That one, it's interesting because the one I made, the song In Love With a Memory that I made with Rostam, that was like a really early, that was the first demo for the record, and that we've been rehearsing it, so I know how many chords are in that song. There's about like 20 different chords in that song. And then when I was working on Slugger, that's kind of like flash forward to maybe halfway through making the record, I was really obsessed with the concept of like really simple chords where the chorus and the verse have the same chords. Like, I had never done that before, and it kind of blew my mind that can be like the framework for a song. And it's the composer's job to kind of create this dynamic narrative over a really familiar, simple chord progression. So when I was making Slugger, I was like, I want this to be like my pop songwriting dissertation for the record. And there are a lot of things that I found, like different chapters in the book of pop songwriting, but it's like, you know, again, like the chord progression kind of being the same in the verse and the chorus. There's a lot of like cultural references that tie it to a certain time. There's like sound bites. There's electronic drums. There's real drums. A lot of synths. So yeah.
So you started out making it really simple, and then it's like,
well, it's interesting.
Layered.
Like, the progression is really simple, but because the progression is so simple, the melody can be so much more dynamic and can go so much further because the foundation is so simple. And I think that I had never thought of that. I was just like, oh, if it's simple chords and it's simple melody, but it's not that at all. It's like a white canvas for going anywhere that you want with the melody.
Well, let's hear Slugger right now on 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
All right.
I'm such a cancer, I wish I had the answer, baby. I'm quite a mess now, it takes me all day to get dressed now. You think cause you're older that you're gonna be better at being colder, but life takes a different turn. At 30 years old and you still can learn. Whoever said it's better to have loved and to lost than to not have loved it all should just shut up forever, cause car crash in the ocean, back to those late night memories, knocking the light show penalties, making out to Steve Lacey, Gemini. I could kiss you till I die. I was just looking for a late night lover. Now you got me choked up calling me slugger. Never fucking call me slugger. My oh, what have I been doing?
Okay, you're doing another song, Nothing But a Sad Face. I think this is the one. Oh, no, In Love With a Memory was the one that you first wrote for the record.
Mm-hmm.
What about Nothing But a Sad Face?
Nothing But a Sad Face On.
Oh, okay.
Nothing But a Sad Face On is a revisionist history, like, reframing of Eve as a sex icon instead of being this, like, evil character that ruined all of humanity for the rest of time. I like actually think of her as being this like hot main character that like she actually chose to leave the Garden of Eden, or maybe she got banished for being like too promiscuous or something. But the song is kind of like a portrait of her, like she's just been banished, so she's like leaning against the Garden of Eden gate and she's like smoking a cig, and then she like gets into this old convertible car and like just guns it down the highway to like see her lover. And yeah, and it's kind of like sad. She can hear the angel chorus in the background. She has this kind of like tinge of sadness and longing for her like home. But I think she's just like committing to her desire and her own path. And I think that's the Eve story that I like to picture.
Do you ever do other writing like for like, it seems like you would be a great fantasy writer for books or something.
I've written a children's music book. I used to be a music teacher, so I used a lot of like books in the classroom. So I am working on a children's music book right now. But yeah, I do like fantasy. That's kind of why I also got into metal, too. There's a lot of crossover between, like, Dungeons & Dragons fantasy nerddom and metalheadness. So I still have that energy for sure. Like, the pop thing, it's interesting because I'm really into the, like, challenge of the craft of the songwriting. But I definitely don't naturally identify with, like, the ego pop star energy as much. Like, I definitely, like, I love to get into character so I can perform pop star. But I'm just really a nerd at the end of the day.
How about the title of the album, Blood on the Silver Screen? What's the deep thought between that?
Well, I mean, I was...
so great.
Super serious. I was taking on pop songwriting and the concept of love, which are like two giant concepts. And so I think I wanted to tap into this feeling of like human desire to commit to your love so much that it might like harm you or kill you or like cause destruction. So just this like huge, like this huge swing towards pop and like this profession of love. And I worked with Andrew Thomas Wang, who shot this cover, and he shot the Honey Crash music video, and he shot this, he did the Squeeze cover, and he's worked with like Bjork and FK Twigs, and he's like the king of fantasy and lore. And he and I really collaborated on the visual kind of world that we wanted to build around the album campaign. And so we really kind of dove into the cinematic sweeping kind of love that is almost self-destructive and just being like unashamed about professing that type of extreme passion.
That's so great. So the new album comes out March 7th, Blood on the Silver Screen. I love that you're calling it your boss tour for the B-O-S-S.
Yes.
That's amazing. You're going to be coming to the Lodge Room on April 19th. You are in town tonight to play the Palladium for the Give an F benefit for the Wildflowers. Thank you for doing that. That show's going to be so great.
I'm really
looking forward to seeing
it. I'm really excited because I, made the song with Rostam, and a lot of it is kind of electronic synths that I had programmed, but we're doing a version of it tonight where Rostam plays nylon string guitar, and our friend Chris Griotti, who's like a super shredder guitar player, is also playing like a rubber bridge. I think they're both playing rubber bridge guitars, and I'm playing French horn, so it's like a bit more of like a parlor session version of it. So it's exciting to like write a song and have this finished super cinematic produced version, but then be able to kind of revisit it in these different arrangements. It's really special. So I think it'll be a very earnest and special night all around.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you, Sasami, for coming by.
Thank you.
Smoke burning in my lungs. Two tears stream down, and I sealed my fate with the taste of you on my tongue. Stay for me or pray for me, 'cause heaven is too far now. One taste of forbidden food has strung me out. 'Cause I want you right here with me, even if I know it's wrong. You like to tell me I'm pretty with nothing but a sad face on. If hell is the only place to get lucky, then I will follow you down. There's something so sweet, don't you crazy things. A mouth of honey is worth the stay. Losing my mind on the grapevine, driving 95 with nowhere to go. Taking your time, 'cause you know I get there fast when you take it slow. Come for me or ignore me, either way it's too late now. One sip from your poison lips could pull me down. 'Cause I want you right here with me, even if I know it's wrong. You like to tell me I'm pretty with nothing but a sad face on.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.